Hello and welcome to episode 99 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
As ever, you can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. If you've got any questions or comments, you can, you know, send it to us there. Or you can email us at contact@nerdassemble.co.uk. If you're looking for alternative listening methods, we are available on iTunes and Stitcher. And apparently there's some really large cars somewhere.
Really large cars?
Large cars.
It's to help them down the street in this heat.
Oh, yeah, they would, actually. What's happening this week, Paul?
Okay, well, this week we're discussing a new BioShock game potentially in the works. X-Files could return to the small screen. Murdoch after Time Warner. Manimal movie looking even more likely, and our feature is Pics of San Diego Comic-Con News.
So, yeah, 2K...
I should be a news presenter.
2K
last... news, not nudes.
Yeah, news, yeah.
What did I say?
It sounded almost like nudes, we've got to admit.
San Diego Comic-Con nudes.
To be fair, there's probably some people there that, you know, would have wished there had been some nudes.
That's for the After Dark podcast.
Ooh.
So yeah,
I'll go and close my window and I come back to nudes. What the hell's going on?
Oh, gosh. I think we need to talk about 2K and their really horrible teasing nudes. Methods of not nudes but potentially a BioShock game of some sort. It's
yes.
Unlikely, I would say, at this point, considering that we've had like some images and really vague words from various social accounts of theirs, including the UK one. I find it unlikely that it's a new BioShock game. I find it likely that the buggers are probably working on a HD version.
Otherwise, no one has the PC version.
Yeah, I don't get this idea of remaking stuff that's, you know, last gen.
I know, but at the same time, this is pure conjecture by me at this point. It's just okay. The fact that all the studios that have worked on the actual games are, you know, gone. So I find it hard that they could get together a creative team that has... I'm not saying that you need Levine to make a BioShock game, but I suppose it kind of helps.
Yeah.
I would be unhappy if they did one without him, because he seems to be the one who comes out with the, you know, the really nice ideas, yeah. And BioShock 2 is good, but that didn't have his input.
And you can tell. When you play BioShock and BioShock Infinity, you can definitely tell.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think the first one is the most groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And it's weird, because in some ways it's more traditional as well. It's a very, quite a traditional sort of PC shooter, but in other ways it's... these are some of my favourite games.
I mean, if they were somehow making a new game... I doubt it was going to be a big game. It would probably be a minor game. Wasn't there a PS Vita incarnation mooted at some point? Could be that.
Yes. They did sort of mumble about it, but I think Levine eventually said that it didn't get past prototype.
Okay,
so just in a proof concept, look, we can kind of do it, but we probably shouldn't.
Or imagine if 2K dragged Telltale kicking and screaming to their doors and said, make us a thing like what you're doing with Borderlands.
Ah, yes.
That could work.
I like that idea.
Could. Probably won't if it did happen. You wouldn't get to shoot lots of things. You know, and throw lots of things. And
I would be a bit about...
Will you take the Adam from the little, or the, is it the Adam or the Eve from the little sister?
Well, last time I saw a little sister was when I replayed a bit of BioShock 2 for the sci-fi month for Hex, and the little sister was extracting Adam because it was red.
And she produces Eve.
Yeah.
Which is blue.
So,
Adam get no. I'm not saying that. That just sounds wrong.
What's that?
Adam goes in and Eve comes out.
Oh, Emily.
Sorry, listeners. Ah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean. It's just, you know.
I'm just thinking. Will it be a case of, will you extract Adam from the little sister? The little sister will remember this.
Oh dear God.
No.
This is one of those times when there's something deeply wrong and it's not me saying it.
Do you know no what? Comment. I think it's the power of Cards Against Humanity finally sort of coming down to reason.
You think it's made me go more renegade than Paragon?
Yeah. Could have done.
Have I acquired renegade points from
playing Cards Against Humanity? Maybe. Quite possibly, yes.
Emily, check. If he's got more of a red background, then that means he is going renegade.
Well, due to the lighting setup at the moment, things are looking a bit more orange, so...
I'd say that's renegade. I'd say that qualifies.
It's not that I'm against seeing another Bioshock game. I'm not particularly fond of Columbia Mind. I kind of like my Rapture.
I played Bioshock Infinite 3 times.
So. I like Columbia.
I played it twice. Was it 3 times? Because I managed to write lots of words about it. Words. Written.
I enjoyed Columbia.
I liked it, but I didn't feel like it was... I mean, it might be because I haven't played the DLC for it, but it felt very disconnected from the original Bioshock. And
the DLC bit at the end. Is...
Yeah,
it kind of fixes that.
Ah, good.
Which is cool. Well, so I think it stands up on its own because of that as well. Because it does feel a bit more detached from Rapture and that, so it does feel a bit more fresh.
The other reason I didn't like, Infinite was because it felt even more linear than 2. And I just felt like I was being made to shoot things more than use powers. Despite, you know, like, Elizabeth's attempts to find me shizzle when I needed it most.
Mm. True. But I didn't really take much notice of this year, and I was too enamoured in actually looking around the place. That's probably why I kept dying, to be honest.
It's amazing if you think about it, because Bioshock Infinite is pretty much a game about an escort mission.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's Elizabeth escorting you.
Mm.
Yeah, because she's the one that doesn't keep dying.
Yeah, so she has to keep bringing you back, and she can look after
herself. In my defence, the only reason I keep dying is because it's such a beautiful place to look around.
But then it's annoying, but then there shouldn't be that many, as many enemies as the game does have, that you can't actually stop and have a reasonable look around in places. Like, it is a bit ridiculous, the amount of bodies that get thrown after you, considering that in comparison to Rapture, it feels like Columbia's still in its kind of like early days, like the population and available fighting ready population is far more limited.
I think that's because in Bioshock, you know, basically shit's already gone down.
Mm.
You know, the splicing and whatnot's happened, it's no longer kind of a human population down
and
there.
And I still have issues with the way they represented the working class in Infinite.
Yeah. Okay.
So
it was kind of an interesting, you know, kind of thing to bring up, but yeah.
Okay, move us on to the next bit of news. I know, so I think this could be the second time I'm getting us to talk about X-Files in maybe like a month or so. I know it's cruel to all of you, probably, but Chris Cutter was interviewed recently for Vulture because of, is it Area 51? That new series he's got coming out. Because all the people that he had fallings out with at Fox are now all gone, there have been talks about more, it's more of a reboot of the X-Files rather than actually continuing the original arcs or anything. And there's kind of like it's not definite, but there are talk, you know, it's not something that's been completely put off the table kind of thing. It could happen.
It'd be interesting to see what he brings back to the X-Files after such a long time away from it,
and bearing in mind that they've had things like we've had Fringe, Warehouse 13, somebody else named weird series with people in suits.
With people in suits, ooh.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
With Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. Yeah.
Basically, there's a lot of series out there that have basically gone a different way to the X-Files, because the X-Files was always like, there's something lurking in the background, you know it, there's something wrong, but it never gets
and
down
also,
to it.
Also, it was never always about the main art, as in the aliens, that, you know, like, they were as just as likely to deal with a serial killer as they were, I don't know, a poltergeist.
Or, like, an experiment gone wrong.
Or an alien. Yeah. So, but I mean, I suppose it's a bit hard to bring it back, at least I think, to TV, because obviously that's quite an ongoing commitment at this stage with the amount of lore that's built up. Because there's like, I mean, that was, when did it finish? It was ran for 9 seasons. The comics are season 10.
Mm.
Obviously, 2 films. That's a lot of material.
I'd say probably around, what, 2003, 2004, maybe?
Sounds about right, yeah. That it finished, so it would be quite something to expect a huge chunk of younger viewers, as in like, so like the 16 plus
to really
market.
Get the lore.
Yeah,
yeah.
So if you were going to put it back on TV, you probably would have to kind of reboot it or soft reboot it.
Yeah, yeah. I think soft rebooting it would be good.
But
I think, and this is just an idea, right? If you want to reboot it and have it so that it, you know, it's for the younger viewers.
Mm.
Yeah, have Dana basically as Dana, but have Mulder as a sparkly vampire heart werewolf.
Oh, that's just cruel. That's just
so
cruel.
So he'd be going, yeah, I'm sparkling for some reason because
I think
I
only
know
one
why.
Phrase.
And he's going, oh yeah, but I did either didn't see it, or I'm saying it's, you know, swamp gas and a reflection of Venus.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
And also be really weird with the, no, I am inescapably sciencey, but I'm also a bit religious.
I would like to
and I keep banging on about
been,
that.
Have you been smoking something today?
No.
I was
Mulder is a glittery vampire disco ball can fuck right off.
I was going to say that whilst this Vulture interview was going on, apparently Carter got a text message from David Duchovny.
Yes.
Because
God, please, can I be in something?
It's like, because apparently they still remain friends and they're actually neighbours.
Weird.
What's really weird though is the end of the quote regarding what the text was about. There's something to do with a remote control that I have, which I'm assuming is relating to the text message, and he laughed after telling the Vulture interviewer this, and it's just kind of like cool, and but it's just, it would be Fox back with Fox and Fox, and this is where I want to lead into our next probably the biggest piece of news that's happened over this month, over July, which is that Rupert Murdoch's been eyeing up Time Warner, which is a pretty big deal, because for those of you who don't keep track of which conglomerates own which bits of media production in the world, Time Warner owns, obviously, Warner Brothers. It owns HBO and
DC.
CNN. And yes, and DC, and which is an angle that all the idiots commentating on it, as in like the journalists, you know, apparently the real the people get paid to write about this stuff. I've kind of missed out the fact that obviously if you buy Time Warner, you also get DC's back catalog. Yes. And it's just, we've not hidden the fact that we don't like News Corp much and the Murdoch Empire on this show.
No.
Even though we like watching the odd Fox show, generally the companies behind all of this over the years, we don't like that
much. To be honest, we would prefer it if those shows that we did like were not on Fox, because they have this habit of cancelling them.
Yes.
Yeah, or trying to sort of
interfere with the
ideology and stuff's on it. And
yeah. Oh, Jesus. I'm thinking with the amount of ways that they can fuck off, and all you have to do is just rewatch the intro to The Family Guy when it came back.
Mm.
Yeah.
For the, oh, all these other shows would have to be cancelled for us, you know, for Family Guy to come back to TV, and that would be an indicator.
Yeah. But it's... Originally, CEO of Time Warner, Jeff Bukes, rejected an offer of $80 billion in cash and stock for Which Time Warner.
Good on him. Good on him. You keep refusing offers.
That's a lot of bloody money, obviously. Yes. And, I mean, some of the speculation has gone around the fact that, obviously, Fox is a bit crap at making original programming generally, and the rest of... like News Corp, and you buy Time Warner, you get HBO. The only reason is because they haven't bothered creating their own HBO, which makes really gritty, like the kind of program that people want to pay money Truth for.
Am I right in thinking that Murdoch got forced to sell off certain...
Yeah, stuff got split up, so it's not as... It doesn't generate stuff as much as it could altogether.
Yeah, basically anti-competitive.
Because if they were successful, they'd have to get rid of a lot of the news stations due to competition issues, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but because CNN's got an entire different flipping take on the news in comparison to Fox News in America. Yeah. I don't watch either channel, but whenever, say, somebody points to a CNN news story versus a Fox News story, I'll tell you which one tends to come out better.
CNN.
In terms of the quality of reporting
the Fox story is normally somewhere in the wilderness of some bear being escaped or something.
Yeah. Bill Mayer? He's got his own talk show, satirical show on HBO.
Yeah.
And he wrote a piece for the Hollywood Reporter about that. He's like, he just kind of sat there, sort of quietly shitting himself, because obviously Murdoch and Fox, it represent everything that he's pretty much against. You know, it's just kind of it's the wrong politics and the wrong kind of money and the wrong way of doing business.
And the other annoying thing is, if they were able to do that, pretty much, am I right in saying that pretty much Disney and Fox would own pretty much most of the TV stations and comic back catalogue of comics and stuff, so you'd only have really two big companies going.
Only if you consider comics, otherwise it kind of turn it into three, because obviously Viacom is in the other corner, and they have a lot of stuff as well, obviously, but not anything that they definitively own comics wise.
But it can't really be good that the majority of sort of entertainment would be owned by three big companies.
Yeah, it certainly would be a
bad idea.
I mean, a lot of the articles have been like, would America let the government let this happen? Because, like, obviously they do have monopolization and competition laws over there, and they have said no to certain mergers in the past. And with something like this, it's the American public's interest. Would it be in the American public interest? Probably not for these two to merge, because way it would affect programming just so much.
Well, I mean, it's not just that, but I mean, I remember because I did film studies and, you know, learning about stuff like vertical integration and, you know, the Hollywood film industry in times of, I think it was like 60s or something like that, when they kind of owned basically kind of the means of production, the exhibition, and basically everything was kind of, you know, theirs for the taking, so that they could do anything that they want. And I think there was like, I don't know, four big companies, and, you know, basically nobody could kind of get into the industry, and it was the court's decision to actually, you know, force them to break it up. And it's...
I just had a horrible thought as well.
What?
They'd own the rights to X-Men and DC.
Ugh. And...
No.
I don't know, because I think at that point, if they somehow tried to, I mean, I wouldn't have thought they'd tried to integrate the two, but if they tried to integrate the two, I think the original copyright holders at that point would be able to go on sort of like a moral copyright objection at that point.
I should hope so. Imagine that. Batman versus Wolverine.
Just to quote Bill Mayer from his piece from the Hollywood Reporter, there's a terrible price to pay for this, in brackets, he said. I mean, besides the terrible price I personally will pay when Rupert takes over HBO and my show becomes Paste Eating Time with Steve Docky. Or Ducci.
Douchey, I think.
Douchey, yeah. So yeah, it's like it's just the whole swallowing up different ideals at work here. Admittedly, the way DC Comics have been going, they're perhaps a bit more aligned with what Fox News likes putting out in the world than, say, Bill Mayer's show. But I still like to think there's hope for DC these days.
Yes.
Has DC been getting political, or is he just shit? Which angle were you going for there?
It's not necessarily going political, but it's general politics has been leaning more to the right in American terms of late. I hate to think what would happen to DC and its properties if the merger happened.
Suddenly it would make sense, because I'm thinking, you know, with why would Batman fight Superman? Well, Batman's a billionaire and Superman's an immigrant.
Yeah.
So there we go. There's a Fox News angle.
Oh, no.
But there's also like the issue, like it's not just something like DC. Time Warner owns New Line. What does New Line make? Frickin' Lord of the Rings and Hobbit films. You know, stuff like that. And they have a whole back catalogue of fantasy and sort of like low fantasy science fiction and stuff, and obviously Time Warner also are the ones that have the visual rights to Harry Potter.
Yep,
they've got it's Warner Brothers, and there are new movies coming out because of the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them films are being slowly put through pre-production at the moment, and production is going to be happening in the next few years.
They own Scooby Doo.
If they own Scooby-Doo, though, does that mean that Time Warner... Yeah, Time Warner must have most of the Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Yes, they have.
I mean,
they have got shitloads.
Have they got Tom... Did they ended up with Tom... Warner ended up with Tom and Jerry at one point. They must have still have Tom and Jerry. I mean, there's this huge swathe of non-Disney American entertainment IPs that Time Warner has over the years with, you know, all the various mergers and stuff and acquisitions that they own.
They are probably Disney's biggest rival when it comes to animation and stuff.
Yeah, in terms of owning original IPs, but existing IPs and stuff, certainly. I mean, it's crazy big. There was the suggestion in one article that I was reading that if they didn't want to side with Murdoch but still wanted to kind of team up with somebody, some peace would have to be made and they'd have to kind of go over with CBS, which would be funny because obviously at one point, Fox and CBS were together as well at some point between the 80s and 90s.
They were.
So that it's like the enemy of the enemy of your the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of situation.
It's all right though, because it will not happen, because Disney will just swoop in and buy the lot.
See, I thought it was terrible when Disney got the rights to stuff like Star Wars, but
sorry, what happened? It didn't happen. No.
Okay. Yo, well, that terrible dream was bad, but it's like the Emperor from Star Wars just getting hold of everything that I like.
It would be
maybe that is Fox's plan. Maybe Fox is actually run by the Sith.
You know, it's not going to die. It's just going to be replaced by a clone, a younger clone.
No, no, Fox is actually owned by Hydra. It makes sense.
Hell, Hydra. Sorry. Cough.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense now. Cookie, I think you must have found this news story. The next one. I remember talking about this all the way back in episode 8 of this podcast and you being really infused.
I found it, yes.
No.
It would look like that Manimal is returning to the big screen courtesy of Sony Pictures. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
No.
Oh,
and it's about to be bought by News Corp.
I mean, let's face it's been almost 2 years since we talked about this, and news about it has resurfaced again. Yeah.
They've actually got... you're making me think now, aren't you? Mustn't be evil Monday night. From the actual news article that I saw... Dan, this is just for Retroid's amusement, because he's going to love this film.
It's
It's going to rank higher than Transformers, put it that way. So, what I found earlier this week was Deadline has posted that Sony Pictures Animation has set Jimmy Miller's Mosaic and Will Ferrell and Adam McKay's Gary Sanchez productions on Manimal. The feature based on the cult 1980s TV show about a man who fights crime using his ability to morph into animals, which was normally a hawk and a panther.
I think he wanted a snake.
He did do once. That was in the pilot, wasn't it, when he did the snake?
Can I just say something that will really piss you off?
Hmm?
It sounds like Ben 10, only Ben 10 slightly cooler.
Oh.
Yeah, I can tell you remember that. I've watched a few episodes of Ben 10, and that's some pretty good animation.
I think it's a good job that we haven't given the other pools our address.
No, we have, at least at one point.
What?
Retroid had to post something.
You should have told me before I made that comment.
I don't think Retroid's so worried. I think it's Cookie to be worried about at the moment.
What we need now is someone saying, oh, I'm just going to get a drink, and then a sound, you know, these little sound effects from The Simpsons where you hear very fast footsteps. And then, you know, slamming of a door and screech car tires.
Well, you know, if they're successful with this, if they're successful with this 80s bring back, the audience talks, I believe Sony audience talks with Mattel to bring back He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, aren't they?
Because Manimal, did it take itself seriously when it originally aired?
Yeah, it was quite
serious.
Yeah,
well, we've got Will, Will Ferrell.
Yeah, I know. Involved. Yes. If they're going to turn it into a comedy, fair enough, fair play. It'd probably be better as a comedy, to be fair.
If he does turn into a panther, what I want to know is if there's going to be any jokes about Sex Panther from Anchorman kind of winding up in it as well.
See, I am quite excited that Will Ferrell was involved in it.
I can imagine it as a comedy. I think that would be quite an original take on it.
It would make it more believable at this point.
Yeah.
As in, like, you'd be able to suspend your disbelief a bit more if it was a comedy rather than, like, being run sort of straight, you know, laced drama kind of.
Now, are you trying to say that a series where someone, because he was a Brit, wasn't he? He was, yes.
He was.
He was very English.
Very, very English. He liked his afternoon tea, sir.
Yes.
Cucumber sandwiches.
Because in fine American TV tradition, if you're not a cheeky cockney, you're a lord.
I think he was, wasn't he? No, was he a lord?
I think he was a son of aristocracy or something like that, because hadn't his father been an adventurer?
Yes.
You see, I haven't seen it in... Well, I don't think I've seen it since it was...
I haven't seen it since it was on. I don't think it ever got rerun, did it? It might have got rerun on Bravo at some point.
I think there's probably a reason for this. But I just remember... You know, why are you saying something where a very posh Englishman could get locked in a room by some bad guys who usually had, brown suits... And mustaches, because they're evil. As you get right, lock him in there. There's nothing he can do to possibly get out. Ha 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 ha. And then just he does some,
turns into an animal.
Well, he does some sort of martial arts and breathing exercises and tantric things.
That's right. Because the transformation.
And then they open a door and the panther leaps out.
Yeah. Going back to that, though, that was a recurring theme, if you think about it, because in the A-Team, they always got locked up in a room by the bad guys, and there was masses of tools around, so they could create a massive tank or something.
Can I just say that I would have thought, especially going against the A-Team, that bad guys would just basically shoot them rather than lock them up in a room.
Well, they did try and shoot him, didn't they? But nobody seemed to shoot straight.
No one ever got shot in those massive gun battles in the A-Team.
No. I can just imagine a scene where it's like, it's like a gang of like 12 people, machine guns, going and whatnot, not hitting a thing at point blank range. And then some guy is like, it's all right, I'll knife him. No, it's okay. We'll stick him in that room over there. It'll all be fine.
He'll never get out.
There's only a blowtorch, a spanner, some car, piece of bulletproof glass, a soldering...
The, the, the only way that Manimal could become a serious, as in it could be a more of a drama or sort of like, you know, sort of fantasy drama of sorts in this day and age is if A, it perhaps acknowledged some sort of Jekyll and Hyde like nature with the transformations, and that there were psychological and physiological limits expressed, as in like either it's addictive or he can only do it for so long and it takes a lot out of him to be able to do it, or it kind of become not even just like the process addictive, but it becomes harder and harder to turn back to being a human. Like that kind of
for psychological reasons,
and or you know, like the actual process, kind of like each time he there's only maybe so many transformations he can do of something, like actually placing proper limitations on it that have actual sort of dramatic stakes to them. That's the only way you could make it a drama.
You know what would be cool is if he had to kind of roll the dice to check to see whether he could actually do it successfully. Critical fail.
D20.
Yes, like critical fail. Oh dear, I've got the wings, but I don't have anything else.
I've accidentally chimera'd.
Well, that would deal with the bad guys anyway, because they'd be too freaking scared at that point.
I'm just thinking that if it took something out of him, you know, if he's trapped with someone, and it, you know, probably with a woman or, you know, something like that, like, you know, some like businessman's daughter, the president's daughter, or something like that, that he's supposed to be rescuing. If it takes something out of him, I demand there's a scene where it's I'll do all the, you know, all the Tai Chi moves and, you know, martial arts and relaxation and, you know, blah blah blah, and then it would just be 5 minutes later and he's sort of sitting on the edge of the table, you know, just sort of staring at his feet, and she's comforting him saying, "Don't, it doesn't matter."
I'm sure it happens to all
you can try again in a few minutes and go, but it's never not worked. I've always been able to turn into a panther.
For that, maybe that's what they'll end up doing in the film.
I demand a cut if that makes it.
They've really sort of, I don't know, Sony seem to be really getting into the whole bringing back things from the 80s and 90s at the moment, aren't they?
Well, you say
they've got a gem and the
laziness. We've got these things laying around. Why don't we do something with them?
Well,
as well as Manimal, they've got Barbie now, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've got Gem and the Holograms.
Are they responsible for that Captain Planet stuff going on?
Oh, God.
What?
There's Captain Planet stuff going on?
Well, Power Rangers.
Oh, I've heard about Power Rangers.
Yeah, but I don't think. Did Power Rangers ever go away? I've got a nephew.
No, it didn't.
So
I think it's on. Like,
we usually get the kids' channels put on that sometime when I'm around there, and there's usually Power Rangers.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I have no idea when they were made, but it's a whole new cast and.
Oh, okay. I thought that had died a long time ago. Never mind.
There's lots of toys still being made.
Yeah.
It's far too lucrative to kill off.
And it's far too easy to, you know, take fight scenes filmed in one language and then redub and then have the non-costume scenes with a different set of actors.
I mean, Sentai stuff is still really popular in Japan, so far as I know, so...
Yeah.
But then they've got... I mean, that sort of genre is, like... Because it's, like, a multimedia genre over there, so it's in, like, TV videos, as in like to buy video games, manga, yeah, it's in everything that it's that kind of like fighting transformation-y genre-y thing.
And aren't they the ones behind the Banana Man movie as well?
Well, Sony.
Hmm.
I don't know because obviously DC Thompson has still got a hand in it. I'm just hoping it's better than the Banana Man comics that I keep seeing in the Beano, because my little brother's got into buying the Beano every week, and it's like, yeah, there's Banana Man comics and that, and it's not as good as the animated TV series.
No, it never was, to be fair.
Which,
Eric. When Eric eats a banana,
he gets potassium.
Yeah, that's the one.
So I'm going to move us on to a final bit of the show this week. We're not going to talk about what we've been up to this week because Comic-Con happened. Not that we went. We just got barraged with stuff over the internet and Twitter. God. It was a bad time to have TweetDeck open last week. Bad time.
Can I just start out? What the hell is you know, it's meant to be a comic convention. What the hell happened?
Well, they realised that if you sell to the broad spectrum of geek, with maybe not too much acknowledgement towards women and minorities and alternative sexualities and genders and stuff and blah, 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 they could, you know, sort of emphasise those groups but still make them feel like they're included and that their interests have been catered to, and then the people that don't like lots of comics but still classed as geek, you know, if they feel like they're... You know, money. Okay.
That's why. I still want to go.
There'll be a lot of waiting.
You know, like Nerdy Con or Geek Con or something like that. Yeah. I think it would be more representative.
Absolutely, just rename it.
But no, there were lots of bits of news. I didn't personally find anything particularly exciting that came out of Comic Con news-wise. I was just like, I didn't feel like there were any huge announcements. Like a lot of what was being talked up, it was kind of like we already knew was happening or coming in some way or another, and then a few specifics were kind of detailed.
Because they went on to Marvel's film release schedule for the next 5 years, I'm surprised they've actually got Ant-Man down for that soon. It's like July 17th, 2015.
Yes.
I mean, have they found a director?
Yeah,
They found people. They've obviously got writers because that was part of the problem in the first place.
Yeah.
They've apparently used quite a bit of the script that was there before anyway, haven't they?
I'm hearing mixed views on that. And what people saw at Comic-Con also gave mixed views. There's some people that were going like, oh, this is going to be absolute pants because it's not taking like the characters seriously enough or something. And it's just like, well, it's not got the people that I would have trusted to make it behind it anymore.
I mean, can I just say, it goes to 2019.
Yeah, but it's the amount of them that are untitled, though. They haven't actually got... It's basically at least... It's at least... How many releases a year?
455.
Two to three releases a year.
Yep, so 2015, 2016, 2000...
They did want more, but they've got Star Wars to put in there as well, haven't they?
Yeah, but that's not Marvel.
No, it's...
No, that's Disney, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, 2015, 2016, that's two titles per year. And then it looks like they ramp up 2017, 2018 to three titles a year, spacing out May, July, and November. So, and obviously... 2015, 2016, they've got, you know, kind of Avengers Age of Ultron, Ant-Man. Age of Ultron's May, Ant-Man's July. So I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah. Captain America 3 is then that following year, May the 6th.
Yeah.
Which is... Isn't that the same... Was going to be the same date as one of the DC movies, wasn't it?
Potentially. All I know is that I feel at this point, after looking at this schedule, that it's like they're overstretching themselves a bit much. If they're predicting that they can keep putting stuff out at that rate for like 5 years.
Well, Age of Ultron is obviously going to be a big hitter.
Next year makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the untitled is because they don't actually know yet.
Well, they do know some of them, don't they? I mean, they've got Doctor Strange they're already doing. They've already announced that's going to be made.
But they haven't sort of thought of a slot that they want to kind of bung it in.
Put it into.
Mm.
There's big rumours about a Hulk solo movie for Mark Ruffalo.
Well, I would like that, but that's because I like Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, no, that would be really cool to see that.
Did you hear that Mark Ruffalo said that he'd like to reboot Columbo?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would work.
Yes.
Especially seeing as just last week I watched Zodiac.
Is this that? Is that the new series with
Mark Ruffalo? Sorry,
it's the film based on the Zod Killer, where he plays a cop in the 70s, 60s, and 70s.
Mm.
And at one point, he could be playing Columbo, just because he's got the slightly unkempt hair and. You know, things like that, you know, working on this case. And it's just, oh, yeah.
I'd
like to see Mark Ruffalo as Columbo.
I would just like point out that the film Seven Psychopaths has my most favourite reference to the Zodiac Killer in it. Put that there. If you haven't seen Seven Psychopaths yet, you need to watch it. Not because it's got Mark Ruffalo in it.
In Bruges, isn't it?
It's not. It's a separate
thing. Does it have
thing.
Mark Ruffalo in?
No, it doesn't. But no, it has the Zodiac Killer in it. I say the Zodiac Killer. It's an approximation of the individual because, you know, they were never caught.
I mean, there's a new
story. The Gemini Stubber.
Slightly going off, well, back on topic. But
away from
on.
Marvel.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe hit the show floor dressed up as Spider-Man. And I know that, I think in New York, there was a guy that, I think, punched a policeman who was dressed up in Spider-Man. I presume it's not, it wasn't Daniel Radcliffe in the...
No, it's just that apparently Radcliffe was all like, well, you can't go to Comic-Con without seeing the show floor. But obviously he can't go to the show floor in person.
He's just copying Matt Smith.
Needs a mask thing going on.
See, I remember, can't remember whether it was last year or the year before.
Matt Smith, he dressed up as Bart Simpson, didn't he, last year?
I can't remember whether it was last year or the year before. I think, Bryan Cranston had
went in a Bryan Cranston mask.
Yes. I think that's just brilliant.
Which is the most brilliant disguise.
So yeah, he was on the shop floor, show floor.
Okay,
sorry.
maybe one thing after Comic Con I'm slightly more interested in watching is Horns, the latest movie that Radcliffe's got coming out.
I keep meaning to watch the trailer for that. There's been two trailers now, hasn't there?
Yeah, it's looking a bit more interesting.
I know there's a romantic comedy with Daniel Radcliffe coming out.
That's a different film altogether. That looked far more.
I was going to say that doesn't sound like Horns.
No.
I mean, so I've totally misinterpreted the title and the images I've seen.
I'm not going to say anything.
Has anyone watched the new Mad Max Fury Road trailer?
I've not seen the trailer, but I prefer Tom Hardy so much more than Mel Gibson.
This is based on sort of ideological.
Not being a twat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that'd be a big part of it, yeah.
And to be honest, I quite like Tom Hardy. He's actually been in quite a few films over the past, you know, couple of years. What? Like, say for example, obviously he was Bane.
Mm. Yes.
He was in kind of crime one with Shia LaBeouf, Gary Oldman. You know the one that I mean?
Yeah, I switched off when you said Shia LaBeouf.
Eric.
Yep.
Sorry.
But, who's in This Means
my,
War?
My twat filter just...
Oh, Public Enemy.
Shut up there.
It wasn't Public Enemy. No, it was the one with the people living in the country. Not Appalachian.
In a
mountains.
Very nice house.
No.
Don't you just hate it when this happens?
Lawless.
That's the one, Lawless. Yeah, it was in Lawless.
There you go, I'll help you out there. Lawless.
This all amaze you all, but I've not seen it.
No, I haven't either. I did like him in Inception as well, though.
Yes, he was in Inception. I think he's been in a couple of other films as well, I'm pretty sure, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Star Trek Nemesis?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he was...
He was the baddie.
Yeah.
He was the big baddie.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And for a second there, I thought, because we've got the outline up, and I thought that said Goosebumps, the movie with Jack Bauer.
Sorry? What?
Are you on about the Jack Black movie?
Yes. For some reason I read that as Jack Bauer.
Okay.
Obviously I've had you watching too much 24 when I said 24.
Some help.
And it would be trying to solve a ghost mystery by torturing someone with pliers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it's the president that's being haunted.
No, the president inherited a possessed dummy, and it all went a bit horribly wrong at the last dinner party. Oops.
It was supposed to do a peace summit and everyone got possessed or something.
Yeah. But basically there was not much video stuff, but just kind of like Jack Black came on stage with a couple of people to talk about Goosebumps the movie. Jack Black's playing R.L. Stine, I believe.
He might be playing.
Playing.
He's probably got a lot of money.
And somebody else who was there came on stage with a version of Slappy the Dummy from Night of the Living Dummy, which is one of the, it's not the original story that the whole franchise started off with, but it's one of the more memorable and had lots of sequels in the books.
Night of the Living Dummy.
It was freaking creepy. I read like two or three books of it when I was a kid.
Sounds like Night Out in the Town of Mrs.
It was. Oh.
Do you reckon that was the inspiration for, I think it was Buffy season one, Sid the Dummy?
Yes.
That was a pretty awesome episode.
There were
actually
a lot of commonalities, but at the same time, I mean, Sid ultimately, can I spoil Buffy from, was this season two or three?
Season one, I believe.
Is this season one?
Believe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you can spoil it, go on.
Yeah, like, yeah, Sid ultimately is a good guy. Slappy is not a good dummy. He's not a nice dummy at all. He's a horrible, 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 horrible dummy.
Is he as bad as Chucky?
It's that kind of, it is like Chucky for kids, yeah.
Chucky for kids?
Yeah. Which is ultimately probably a bad idea when you're writing horror.
I really don't like the sound of that.
And these books were available in my local library. And we were on sale in the kids section. I remember I got a bunch of them, and they were. I bought them in the book section of Tesco's the one time. I got one from there, and then I think I got some from like the local WH Smiths. Yeah.
Forcing kids to be scared of ventriloquists the world over.
Do you know what I miss?
Everyone knows that clowns are the.
I love clowns.
I still miss
clowns versus dummies.
I still miss Scholastic's point horror books.
Point horror books. Yeah. I used to read them.
They had their own version of Halloween with that, with the babysitter novels, yes. Which was scary.
They did
as heck.
The Chain Letter series as well, didn't they? Point horror.
Yeah, they had loads. I'm going to have to try and track them down sometime. They're really quick reads compared to what
they
I read
really
today.
Are very quick reads. I mean.
But well, at the same time, because obviously Scholastic,
I was reading them years and years ago.
Yeah, because Scholastic it was Scholastic, who were an imprint of HarperCollins, I believe. It was kind of age defined, like the Goosebump books were kind of like pre point horror level. Point horror was a lot longer, and in some ways scarier, whereas the Goosebumps books were kind of aimed at probably like 9 to 12-year-olds, whereas point horror was kind of like 11, 12 to like 16-year-olds.
I was going to say, because I've never read a Goosebumps novel, but point horror I got into quite well when I was a kid.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there was talk about the film, and I'm not really excited about the film. I think you
know what will make it better?
What?
Jack Bauer.
Actually, yeah, they probably would. He wouldn't take no... you know, shit from Slappy. He'd just be like, just burn the dummy and be done with it.
I have red shallow. No, you're not. You're wooden.
Comixology, whilst at Comic-Con, kind of pushed further the news that they've got some publishers/titles that are now DRM-free, so you can download, like, PTF versions, and I think another format that obviously doesn't have any DRM for, like, backup or just reading in alternative methods.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, the publishers that have gone with that at the moment are Top Shelf, Image, Dynamite, Thrill Bent, and Zenoscope. Plus, self-publishers now have the option when they obviously, you know, they put a comic or series through Comixology for submission, they can choose whether or not to provide DRM-free copies of it as well for readers on the service. So, I mean, that's
as long as Comixology don't get bought up by EA.
Well, no, they're not, because they're owned by Amazon.
So yeah, I didn't think that was a legitimate possibility. I was just, you know, mentioned anything. Oh, no.
Although, did you know, with the mention of EA,
God.
That they've... No, this is a kind of a positive.
Okay. What? Sorry.
They're giving away Sims 2 and all its add-ons.
Is this to make up for the fact that they're going to try milk us dry for Sims 4?
Well, I think it's kind of because they're completely killing off, you know, Sims 2. So they're saying, you know, you can have everything, you know, and of course, sensibly, using it as a promo tool for Sims 4.
Is it? Do you have to do it for Origin then?
It's Origin.
Yeah. Well, there we go. There's the sting.
Yeah, but then they are trying to. I mean, I have to say personally, as a PC, you know, gamer, yeah. I prefer Origin to Uplay.
That's not hard, yes. though.
It's not hard, no. But just the fact that EA have been giving away full games for free for the last few months, and they, you know, they haven't been terrible games. I mean, you know, the original Dead Space, good game.
Yeah.
But yeah, with this, it's not on the store. But if you just Google around and you know, for you know, Free Sims 2, it's a like a code you put in.
Mm.
But you know, other than that, there are no hoops to jump through, and I've redeemed it because I thought, well, I might as well. It's a free game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'll be playing about with that, but just a positive there. It happens every now and again from.
And to me, that's too much like, you know, the whole, you know, guy drives up with a white van, and you know, it's like, hey kid, I've got some candy. Want to come in?
I've got some Sims 2 codes.
I
don't have to use anything with DRM in my. Say no, Origin is fine. Love you like it.
I love the way your voice then just kind of distorted and made it sound like EA was kind of you know,
listening in, speaking through retro. People. Is he channeling EA right now?
I think that would be a very bad thing.
I don't know. I think it's the NSA are sponsored by EA.
I think we need to go back to Comic-Con at this point. Did they show the Flash pilot at Comic-Con? I think they did.
They showed some new footage. I'm not sure if they showed the pilot, because they showed the pilot off. Actually, yeah, I think they did, because they showed that. Didn't they show off Gotham as well?
I'm not sure if Gotham was just sort of more trailers or if it was the pilot.
Or the Flash was more trailers as well.
I think that there was a lot of trailers, actually.
Yeah, there was definitely
a lot of stuff. There was. There was loads of trailers.
Yeah. Nothing that I, like, I'm dying to watch. Well,
I don't know. I quite like the Gotham one. That looks really good. I'm quite impressed with how uncrap it looks, actually.
I still think they've taken the entirely wrong angle for Gotham.
Yeah.
And that they should have just made... what's that? Greg Rucker series set around the precinct.
Gotham Central.
Yeah, they should have just gone Gotham Central rather than, I mean, because obviously the focus is, you know, Commissioner Gordon, but before he's Commissioner. But
it seems to me a bit like a Smallville type scenario where it's like before he was famous type thing.
And look at this, is how all the crazy people's happened.
I don't have positive thoughts about Smallville. I've only seen a few episodes, but... Oh.
The last couple of seasons got better.
I'm not sure about the last season.
That's hardly glowing, is it? It's not awesome. It's the best thing ever made, Smallville.
It took a long time for Smallville to realise that they didn't have to do Power, Come Baddie, Come Monster of the Week. Like, it took them longer than Buffy to realise that, because it took more than a season.
Well, Buffy only really started to get into story arcs
partway through season 2.
Yeah,
with the introduction of Spike, but like more kind of episodic when it come to season 3, when like almost every episode was linked.
Yeah, but
I will just say this as well: Arrow season 3 trailer, fucking nuts.
I will point out that I've said to Paul that we, now that I've finished watching the only seasons of Castle that are on Netflix, which is only 2, there's bloody loads of them.
Intend to get some more.
It's a show about 5 or 6 now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Netflix UK, if you're listening to this podcast, please add more Castle, please.
Also more Nurse Jackie.
Yeah, and more Nurse Jackie. There's a bunch of seasons you haven't put all that on there. Damn it, we want more stuff that we can watch legitimately.
Have they got Arrow on there?
No. Okay. But we've got the first season of Arrow.
We've had it for a while, actually. We just haven't got round to watching it.
Yeah.
Yay, get off it.
That's what we were going to start work on next, actually.
Yay. Have you seen the trailer?
Well, for season 3.
Yeah.
No, because we haven't seen any of season 1.
Hmm.
Oh, or okay. 2.
Oh, Sharpton.
Yeah.
There was just a big reveal.
Yeah.
Cool. Yay.
I figured as much.
I can't wait.
But.
And I did like the descriptions that are coming out of the Avengers trailer as well.
Mm.
Oh. That sounded quite cool.
I was a bit confused because originally I thought that it was meant to be, was it the voice, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver that were against the Avengers? But nope. Now it seems like they're teaming up with them.
There'll probably be certain antagonistic moments or something at some point, you know.
They will. They probably do, yeah, but in the comic books they join the Avengers.
Mm. Okay.
Because in the comic book, Scarlet Witch is married to the Vision for a time.
Okay.
Silence.
Mm. I'm trying to remember who the Vision is.
The green android. That didn't go do lally like Ultron.
Okay.
Yeah. I presume he's fully functional.
I'm assuming so as well. Until he needs a bunch of repair kit.
Oh!
What?
Dear God. Well, after all, Data was fully functional. Fully functional.
That's just no.
That's just no.
No. It's all kinds of no. I mean, what?
You're welcome.
What would Spock say?
It's
Spock.
Not as no as if, you know, just, you know, if you look at my, you know, my tweets from today or, you know, maybe on my, you know, book of faces. If you look for Michael Gove mentioned on my my social media things, yeah. Because someone's written Dinosaur Erotica starring famous people, and one of them is a T-Rex with Michael Gove.
Oh, no.
That's a level of wrong which is just wrong.
To be honest, though, Michael Gove would have to do all the work because the T-Rex is...
Don't shush. I'm just so famous.
Back sorry. On track. It did sound really cool, though, the trailer they showed, the footage they showed, especially...
That's good. Not the trailer of Michael Gove.
No!
No! Avengers 2, The Age of Ultron.
What have you done, Metroid?
I heard it was either on a poster...
I didn't write it.
I heard or read, either on that somebody saw on a poster or in stuff to do with Age of Ultron, that there was, like, imagery of, like, Iron Man, such obviously Tony Stark, waking up and there's, like, loads of dead heroes around him. Or something, so things could take a decidedly dangerously kind of mortal turn in Age of Ultron.
The description I heard had with the ending with Captain America's shield broken in half.
Yeah.
In flames on the floor.
Yeah.
Oh, in no. Flames. Does that mean that they're going to have to launch him in a photon torpedo into the Genesis planet, and then they're going to have to go back for him in the third film, and it'll be shit from that point on until Star Trek VI?
Wait, just Star Trek 6?
Undiscovered Country, isn't it?
Undiscovered Country, yeah.
Yay! Track points.
Oh.
Yep.
But on the same token as well, apparently they saw some of Iron Man in the Hulkbuster suit squaring up to the Hulk as well. Yay. That's going to be epic fight, that will be.
I have to admit, I am looking forward to Age of Ultron more than any other Marvel property.
At the same time, I'm really looking forward to see Guardians of the Galaxy on Thursday.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm sorry, but they're already busy filming 2, haven't you heard? That's so yesterday.
I can't keep up with all these releases. I can't keep up with all these. This is just ridiculous.
Can I just say, like, before, I don't know, when was Iron Man out? 2008 or something?
Yeah.
Before 2008, the Earth was absolutely fine. Since then, we've just hit, you know, fucking apocalypse after apocalypse.
Yeah, it is kind of weird watching. It's like, which cities are going to get, have the crap beaten out of them this summer? And, I mean, Transformers 4, despite all its faults, it had, you know, Hong Kong kind of got it pretty bad. I still think there was political reasoning behind that because they wanted to release the film in China, but at the same time, they didn't want to show, like, a mainland city having itself pulverized by giant robots.
Because wasn't there another city that was pulverized in 4?
It was Chicago, but not Chicago. That much. Not Hong Kong got it way worse.
Yeah, but can can we please just stop destroying cities in our superhero films?
Or just blockbuster films generally.
Because, to be honest,
we
wouldn't...
just have a vote on which, you know, which cities we don't like and then point them that way.
Iron Man now battling in Bognor Regis.
What's Bognor Regis ever done to anyone?
No, I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
What's Chicago ever done to anybody?
Send them all to Hull.
Gangsters?
Hull's a shithole.
Oh. That
now we're just coming off to a slagging off competition with British
opinion.
You
see about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news as well.
Some of it.
Season 2.
What about it?
With Lucy Lawless joining the cast.
Ooh. Zina. What, permanently?
Apparently so, yeah.
Cool.
And one of the new characters. They don't
Sudden increased interest.
And the new character that caught my eye was, I'm just trying to find out, but Mockingbird, which is a Marvel character that I'm really, really, really like as well. She'll be joining the S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
What do you think are the chances that some of the superheroes from that's actually coming in the TV series will actually make an appearance in
films.
No, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Don't know.
Like, say, for example, Daredevil and whatnot.
Could happen.
Could be a crossover, couldn't it?
What I'm more concerned about at the moment is the fact that Channel 4 haven't said whether or not they're picking up new Season 2. Because it wasn't said... I'm pretty sure when they obviously picked up the first season, it wasn't said that, oh, we've done it for several seasons.
Yeah.
And I tried searching around about this last week and I couldn't find anything that said they picked it up beyond the first season. I'm assuming that they've got season 2. I just don't want it on Sky.
I don't
or
want it on
Channel 5 because they'll just fudge it up. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Don't want it on Channel 5, but I hope it isn't on Sky. I just want it on Channel 4 still.
True.
Channel 5 have this habit of, you know, getting really good stuff like House and Walking Dead and then going... oh, well, we're going to fuck around with the schedule. Oh, yeah, it's not getting enough views. Bam, we're going to drop it. And then it goes to Sky. And it's like, you bastards.
But to fair, in the case of House, that's a Fox series. And it ended up on like, FX.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And Walking Dead. Well, Walking Dead's AMC.
Although, to be fair, I think Dexter was on ITV.
Yeah,
and then,
before FX
and then,
decided to claw it back.
Yeah,
of,
so
they're showtime.
Really,
you see, part of the problem is that when TV shows go on mainstream and then they go on paid services, is that you're more likely to get people pirating the damn thing or just waiting for the box sets. Because let's face it, people like watching box sets nowadays.
Well, we certainly do.
I have to say, it's torturous when I watch a series weekly.
Yeah.
Because I want to watch the next episode now.
Oh, wait, no. I was just trying to think, is that why I find it hard to watch Doctor Who, but I never feel like I want to watch the next episode of Doctor Who?
Speaking of Doctor Who, did you hear that they're going to do another cinema launch for the first episode?
Simulcast.
Hello?
It just cut off slightly there.
Sorry, another simulcast.
Yeah.
Going to be simultaneously broadcast over the world as well.
Meanwhile, the mainstream media today picked up on the news that Peter Capaldi's doctor won't be having romantic relations with his, you know, assistant.
Good, because that means
they said no
flirting. He won't be a xenopedo. Because after all, he's over 900 years old and an alien.
I have to say,
oh, there are some sexy looking monkeys on that planet, I think I'll go down.
I really
I've ducked one of them for a few weeks.
Doctor
Who
no,
just
no.
went to a dark place.
Oh, dear. I have to say as well, I quite liked his comment that he's supposed to have said about he insisted on having no Papa Nicole moments as well, which was quite funny.
Yes, and he's like, oh Capaldi, I you know, have a bit of a man crush on you. You're awesome.
Well, that happens from time to time.
Has anyone else got any other actual Comic-Con news?
Not particularly. I mean, I'd just like to say congratulations to everybody who won an award at the Will Eisner Comic Awards, especially Saga.
Congratulations to everybody that waited in line.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Is it Game Theory?
Yeah,
the game theorists. Was it last week that their video went up?
Yeah, I think so.
Game theorists put up a video last week about how long on average each attendee spends queuing when and they then, go to Comic-Con.
And then the amount of time all of them spend.
And how much
and like how many
lost,
years,
and
like
how,
millions
and
of years.
And how much lost revenue on average this equates to as well. It was pretty shocking, because put it this way, there's no way they're spending the amount of money that they've lost in earnings at the show. So
it does make me wonder, because obviously, yes, it is a big convention and everything, but I mean, is it too crowded?
I heard reports from friends that was it London Film and Comic Convention that happened recently, where Stan Lee was at the last thing he was sort of coming to the UK for, really, because of his age. And he was there and everything. But anyway, the queues for that, apart from not having any ropes, and apparently there were issues with disorganisation, but the queues were absolutely massive.
It's like trying to get onto buses.
It's like hours, you know, waiting to see things or get things signed and that. It is making me wondering if perhaps the conventions for geek stuff, they need to think of new ways.
They need to break it down.
Well, the thing is that even amusement parks have been trying out new technologies to try and get queues under control, to stop it so that you don't have people waiting for, you know, several hours to get on a ride. And I think similar measures or different technology, but, you know, they need to look, the big conventions need to look at how they actually manage people and them actually visiting things and kind of figuring out that maybe there needs to be a better needs to be a better way of doing business.
If there are any attendees on crutches or anything, I just would feel so sorry for them.
Well, yeah, because nobody ever talks about what happens to poor disabled persons. I mean, Christ, if you're... Oh, just imagine if... I mean, you probably wouldn't be advisable, but say you're in a position where you're a lady, and how far ahead of time do tickets normally go on sale? At least
several months, isn't it?
At least
easily
4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Say you were a lady and you didn't know you were perhaps pregnant. The time the convention rolled round, you still really wanted to go, but you didn't realise how bad the keys were going to
be. Like waiting in line, and by the time you actually get to see Stanley,
you've pissed yourself.
You've not only pissed yourself, but you've also given birth, and you can get Stanley to sign your
baby.
And probably I get the baby to sign something for Stan Lee as well, depending on how long you've been waiting.
But you know,
I think people have those little, you know, like camping chairs.
Yeah, but it's not a consideration, obviously, that you need to take to cover. But then at the same time, it's the fact that the queues are so long that people who aren't able-bodied definitely will have problems, and the fact they're so long that people who are able-bodied do have issues. I'd hate to think how many people go around conferences, I would say go around waiting queue in conferences, and they have distended bladders, which is not good for you. For you at all.
Another point that the game theorists raised was basically the amount of people that would get to one of the main halls and basically just sit through the entire thing, because they know that if they leave to go to, you know, another lecture in another hall, you know,
they'll
not only
get back in.
Yeah, they won't get back in. And that chances are they probably won't even get into the other hall. So they'll just literally stay there the entire time.
The whole situation kind of makes me realise why bigger conventions have the olfactory issues that they do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think they should basically do smaller conventions more often and in more places.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you still want the geek community there, but you don't want it to be like, well, you don't want it to be the equivalent of like a theme park where, you know, you're kind of waiting around in line for the biggest rides almost the entire time.
Yes, that's true.
Another thing, if you actually make them smaller, because I haven't seen too much talk about this year, but I'm sure it's still probably at the same level as it normally is, but Conlurgy, you know, it's going to probably be pretty bad this week and potentially next week as well. If you had smaller conventions, it'd be less likely that you'd have so many people coming away from it with illnesses of some kind. And actually, I mean, because I always hear complaints about toilets no matter what convention people go
to. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And nobody ever seems, whoever's running the place where these things are hosted, never seems to keep on top of actually keeping toilet skin, which means there's no surprise that people end up ill after conventions. And obviously, there aren't even simple things. Like, I mean, I've been to a couple now, but there's not even simple things that I know, like hand gel around places. You've got a lot of people crammed into a small space. Yeah. Regardless of the size.
At least one person at the Eurogamer Expo who took some hand gel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the women's toilets are like, but the men's toilets, Jesus Christ, I just have to despair at my own gender.
They're not particularly fab. The ladies' ones aren't particularly fabulous because women have to watch out for the hoverers, the women that don't bother to sit down on the loo when they go and then can't be bothered to clean up after themselves when they've been.
But then they're... You know, the male version is I see this toilet has a seat. I can't be bothered to use the urinal. I will therefore just piss over everything.
Yes, there's that issue as well, yeah.
Which is like, where were you raised?
In a place where I don't know how to use toilets, apparently.
See, that's why you use the...
I'm going to take note of, you know, you, and never use any bloody controller after you have used it.
Yeah.
I'll probably die or get superpowers.
Does make me wonder, though, arcades. How disgusting do you think they are?
Because I forget the one that we went to, Holly, the one that was on site, actually had hand gel at doors. They were please use the hand gel, but I think this was just due to general cleanliness issues, probably leading to an outbreak of like a
norovirus
or something, yeah. There were too many children, and too many children not being supervised when they went to the bathroom, because the amount of times I sort of went, you know, sort of like a kid would go ahead of me into the ladies, go to their stall, I go into mine, and I'm taking my time, kid goes out, do I hear any sound of hands being washed? No.
Lovely.
So yeah,
and yeah, this is just kind of proof that girls can be as bad as boys in the hygiene department.
I still have to query that because I have, you know, on one occasion in a public lav, there was part of a turd on top of the toilet seat.
I can beat that.
Oh, good dear God. Oh, God.
In the land of Cornwall, in the town known as Helston, in the public leaves behind the town clerk's office. I ventured into the ladies, opened a stall door, and it was wall to wall, floor to ceiling. There we go. And I promptly evacuated the premises,
went round
to the town clerk's office, knocked on the door and said, "You need to get someone in there now."
That sounds like a protest of some description.
Yes. Dirty protest that should never have happened.
Stomach's going there.
Yeah, we need more toilet paper.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm hoping conventions generally don't descend to something quite as bad. But yeah, people need to look after hygiene and that. And I think that's one issue that if you reduce the size of conventions but make them more frequent, health issues would be improved.
I think part of the reason why they don't, though, is they'll have to pay the actors more. Or, you know, the
it's trying to accommodate people as well, because you're paying more for like their rooms a lot of time, like their hotels and stuff.
Also, you know, I was just thinking there, you know, free hint for, you know, anyone who does go to the Eurogamer Expo this year, which I'm not sure if I, you know, can this year or not, but if you do go and you need the bathroom, go to the upstairs ones.
That's
because the knuckle draggers can't be asked to go upstairs.
There's your number one tip, and still take hand gel.
Yeah, absolutely. Still take the hand gel, because God knows.
Yeah. Well, I think that is definitely all we have got time for this week, after trying to talk about Comic-Con and then descending into surviving conventions generally and the nasty things that can
toilet
happen.
Toilet experiences.
Yeah, it's been a sanitary episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, episode 100 is happening next week, and we are hoping to do maybe something a bit live involving some cool peoples that aren't just us. And
wait, you're implying that we're cool?
Yes.
Woohoo!
I'm not sure how to take that.
And hopefully, you know, stuff will happen, and we will hopefully be posting Monday evening next week links to places, on places, you know, like Twitter and Facebook and the Tumblr site, you know, where you can hopefully watch this live thing.
Cool.
So, but that's all I can say for now. So it's goodbye from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retrod on Eurogamer.net and Super Retrod on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul, aka One_Cookie on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as Paul Blewett.
It's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter as EK6891. You can find NerdAssemble at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. We're also available on iTunes and Stitcher. We're on Twitter as Nerds Podcast, plus we're on Google Plus and Facebook as Nerds Assemble Podcast. Don't forget to check out hexdimension.com. There is a article related to something that's got its 20th anniversary tomorrow going up on the site.
Yay.
So good night.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.
And when I say tomorrow, I actually mean the day this episode goes out, because we're recording on Monday, and yeah, it's just, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Listeners. Bye.
Bye. Hi. Why are we whispering?
I don't know. Are they gone yet? They turned off their play for MP3 players and everything.
Go away.
Stop looking at me.